Jamie Locke over here on the Green Zone on this Monday. Great to be back. Although I'd rather still be camping, to be quite honest, Locker. I hope you don't find that offensive.
Nope. I'm going to be able to go home today and not be offended by that.
Okay. Yeah. It's not you.
I know.
It's, well, you're a camper, you know.
Nice. I enjoy camping. I enjoy camping.
One member of the sales team's like, I don't like to pretend I'm homeless for a week. I'd rather just stay in hotels.
Privy to that conversation today, and I... Like, how do you get to that point in your life and never, ever?
He's not once ever gone camping. Not once.
Camp. Like, I can understand you not liking camping, but never in this province. That's what I said to him. I'm like, how do you...
Well, you've been bouncing around this summer. There's a ton of great camping spots.
This is the best province in the country to camp at. You can actually swim in the lakes. It's beautiful. Like, you have to camp here.
You don't like swimming in the sloughs in Alberta?
Well, especially
if it's ice cold, you know, fresh.
No, there's no Sylvan Lake you can swim in, and I wouldn't recommend it.
I've swam in Alberta, anyways. Honeymoon Lake, it's ice cold in Jasper Park, but you can swim in that. That is fresh, clean water.
I remember there was constant conversations about going to the lake. And I'm like, why do you buy why do you buy a place on the lake if you can't swim in the with open sores on your body? Red, like, what are you doing?
Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. As let's continue our NFL preview series, shall we? Kevin Bowen joins us. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. They have a QB battle going on right now. Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones. Kevin, let's start there. What are you seeing in this QB battle?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the rare quarterback competition that actually seems like a rather, 50-50 split. I don't know if it's fair to call it a legit quarterback competition just because, I don't know if there's a ringing endorsement really for either winning that battle. But, yeah, they've split it up. Sounds like that'll be the plan here week 2 in the preseason. You know, Anthony Richardson left the first game due to a right pinky injury dislocation. They popped that back into place. He's practiced since. But, yeah, the plan is for Richardson to get a little bit more playing time now here in week 2 of the preseason, whereas Daniel Jones got in week 1. And we'll continue to see how this thing plays out in the month of August.
Kevin, regardless of whether or not there's a clear standout, is the competition from the fans being viewed as a positive, that competition in the quarterback room?
Again, when it's Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones, I don't know if like they're closing down streets to have parades here in the city for this quarterback competition. But I do think the overall premise of like not just handing it to either probably is something that they do appreciate. But this is the give and take, I think, that's difficult with this given quarterback competition is, in some way, shape, or form, you have a inconsistent and bad quarterback in Anthony Richardson so far in his career, and Daniel Jones has probably been inconsistent and bad as well. So if you give both of them inconsistent reps, how do either of them get tangibly better? And I think that's what, I understand the competition, neither's kind of earned the right, but then again, how do you, really make strides with both players needing improvements, Daniel Jones, of course, being in a new offense. So I think that's challenging. It's what makes it odd. It's probably what makes Colts fans look at 2026 mock draft a whole lot. It's an odd time for the Colts.
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead then here and talk about the last 10 years of Colts football, which has been middling. Second or third, 9 wins, 10 wins, 4 wins, out of the playoffs, on the bubble. Where is this organization going? Like, where is this team heading? Are they trending up? Are they middling again this year? Or is this going to be the first time they finish fourth in the division in the last, since forever, it seems?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won a division title since 2014, which is kind of crazy when you think about the AFC South as a whole. It's not like you've had Mahomes or, Josh Allen in your division during that time frame. I would say I've been in the market my entire life, covered the team now for 15 years, and I think you got to go back pre-Peyton Manning to find a time where you had major questions at the three real pillars, I think, of NFL franchises: quarterback, head coach, and GM. It would not stun me at all if all three of them were gone come January, February. Mm. So you got to throw in the wrinkle too of obviously the unfortunate passing of Jim Irsay. Now his oldest daughter, Carly Irsay Gordon, he now is calling the shots. So again, that's just a different decision maker, and we really have no past precedent in how she will operate. So that is something I think you have to factor in as well of, does she want to make her stamp? I tend to think she's a little bit more black and white with her decision-making versus maybe a little bit more emotional on the side of her father. So what does that mean for the parties involved? Ballard's been here 9 years. Steichen's only three. Richardson's only 23 years old. Like, are they all tied to the hip? Are they not tied to the hip? All of it, I think, is just very difficult to see play out. And then, the AFC South is the gift that keeps on giving. It's not like it's a division with dominant teams, or I don't even think Houston is viewed as that runaway of a division favorite this season. So their opportunity still is there to, save some face.
Kevin, whose seat is hotter out of the three that you mentioned? If there's another bad year, if there's another disappointing year, missing the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would assume the GM, because he's been here for 9 years, just purely based off length. But, is there an element of you tie everybody at the hip? This regime obviously drafted Richardson, Steichen. He was just on the job, a couple months on the job, and of course, Ballard was the GM. So, I think that's what makes it, just challenging, I guess, to kind of get a great pulse on it. When you add it all up, no division titles since 2014. I want to say it's the third or fourth longest current playoff drought in the league. Those are, I think, some hardcore facts that, again, Carly Irsay Gordon will look at and realize, oh boy, Pacers get on an unbelievable playoff run here in our city. I'm watching the Fever and all of the attention around them. Yeah. All of a sudden, the NFL, the 8,000-pound gorilla, if you will, is kind of on the back burner. That shouldn't be happening.
We're talking to Kevin Bowen. He is a radio host, 107.5. The Fan covers the Indianapolis Colts. Colt fans listening are going to get really excited about this season, Kevin. Is there anything bright spot wise through camp? The rookie tight end Tyler Warren,
new kicker?
Yeah. What's lighting you up when you look ahead for the Colts 2025?
Yeah, I think Warren has been outstanding here in camp. And, again, we're in Big Ten country, so not too surprised, frankly, by that. He was so good at Penn State and used in many, many different ways. I think there is some hope that Lau Tulatu, their first-round pick from 2 years ago, pass rusher from UCLA, that he has taken a jump here. And, what an edge rusher can do for you, can be a huge difference maker when you play these one-score games. They did bring over new defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati. Those aspects to their football team are different. Can you make some strides there? And, to be fair, it's not like this team has been, a 3 or 4 win team over the last X amount of years. Yes, they haven't won division titles. They largely haven't been in the playoffs. But, we're talking about a 7 or 8 win football team pretty annually. Again, can some of those areas now be 1 or 2 more wins additionally? And what does that mean for your playoff picture? Last year, for those that maybe weren't paying close attention to it, Jonathan Taylor dropped the ball on the goal line of their Week 15 game against Denver. Just a total rare lapse in judgment, if you will. They're about to go up 2 scores on Denver, and all of a sudden it became a touchback, and next thing you know, Denver runs away with it from there, and they go on to make the playoffs. So it's like those things of, maybe they're indicative of the type of team that you are, but if some of that stuff can change, maybe they are a team that can be a wild card team, if you will, out of the AFC South.
That is Kevin Bowen here on the Green Zone. He's a morning show host in Indianapolis, and coming up next, we're going to ask him what it's like with Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever landing in his city and covering what has become one of the biggest names in sports next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
If you say I want something else to get me
Kenyon Locker with a year in the Green Zone, and we're joined by Kevin Bowen, morning show host of The Fan in Indianapolis, as we'll move aside from the Colts a little bit and another big name at taking over Indianapolis. Of course, you've seen the superstars of the Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, Tyrese Halliburton with the Pacers, Kevin, but we're curious on what it's like in Indiana with the Fever, with Caitlin Clark's star status rising.
Yeah, I mean, it's Taylor Swift-type mania. I mean, I think that's probably the best way to describe it now. You know, for those that are not totally keeping up track with her, she's missed about a month, maybe a little bit less than that. She's had a couple different injuries throughout this season, so we haven't seen her play in several weeks now, and unfortunately she didn't play in the All-Star game that was here in Indy. But, you know, just from a hype and an attendance standpoint, and, you know, even our kind of, you know, talk track, if you will, from what we're chatting about on the morning show, it's definitely at a different level. And, you know, again, you saw some of it collegiately in the fact that, you know, when she played at Indiana or she played at Purdue, you saw what those arenas look like here. So it is crazy. We were able to have her on the show last year, and we recorded with her. In between, she recorded like a segment for the ESPYs right before our segment. And then right after us, she was sitting down with Nike for like a 20-person Nike executive meeting. I'm like, boy, the fact that she had time for us lowly morning radio show hosts sandwiched between the ESPYs and, you know, people fresh off the old Nike jet probably lets you know where she's at from a fame standpoint. So, yeah, it is crazy. It is wild to see it all unfold. Again, obviously, for her sake, you hope health cooperates here pretty soon, because they've weathered the storm without her, but they've got less than a month to go here in the regular season.
How is she on the mic?
Terrific. Yeah, terrific. I mean, well beyond any sort of, I don't know, 22, 23-year-old timidness and being, you know, I guess as mega of a star as she is. So, yeah, I realizes I guess she hasn't done a ton of, like, you know, interviews or podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. I think she went on, like, the Pat McAfee show and maybe did the Kelsey brothers. But, yeah, she's super, super, I think, honestly, and is able to kind of field whatever question. And, you know, it's reminiscent of Peyton Manning, I think, kind of in his early years here in Indianapolis. So, yeah, she's very impressive when it comes to that stuff.
Do the fans stick up for her in Indianapolis? Like she is one of the most talked about, criticized.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, getting elbows thrown at her on the court. Like, are the fans totally in her corner on this one? Like, does that get the talk show going when there's more? Sometimes it's Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese drama going on.
Yeah, I would say definitely. You know, I was at the game last year, and Kennedy Carter hit her in the face against the Sky, and Angel Reese was involved in that as well. I kind of have to laugh at the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark like rivalry. You know, I mean, Angel Reese is whatever. I don't even know how to like make the proper NBA comp to her of like, you know, for some reason I'm thinking like a Miles Turner equivalent player, or, you know, it's not like she is. I mean, Caitlin Clark's on a different stratosphere in terms of a, you know, individual talent than Angel Reese. So I think part of that drama has just been filled a little bit more with Angel Reese off the floor than it is on the floor here. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the Clark mania is not just the borders of Indianapolis and the surrounding counties. It's, you know,
We're in Saskatchewan asking you about it.
Right. And like, I mean, I'm sure if the Fever did like ticket inventory on, you know, the amount of states and the amount of countries, and, you know, I'm pretty sure like Iowa airs, you know, all of their games, you know, that sort of mania, you know, when you only have 13 teams in the league, yeah, it's, you are really pulling from a lot of different markets if you want to come and watch those players play. So yes, I would say definitely there is a heavy amount of backing and really just in general. I mean, it seems like everything WNBA can get pretty divisive pretty quick when you're talking about non-basketball stuff or even basketball stuff, I guess, with Caitlin. So, again, hopefully she can get back to health soon and see if they got a playoff run in her.
That is Kevin Bowen from Indianapolis and The Fan on Colts Preview and what it's like covering one of the biggest names in sports in Caitlin Clark. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Getting ready for baseball tonight. Curry Field in Regina. The Saskatoon Berries trying to force a game 3 back in Saskatoon after the Red Sox took game 1 in extras last night in the East final of the Western Canadian Baseball League. Sylvan Lake taking on the 3-time defending champion Okotoks. Meanwhile, Sylvan Lake's up 1-0 in their best of 3 going into tonight's action. The Ottawa Senators move a step closer to finally getting a downtown arena, about a 20-minute walk from Parliament Hill, as the Ottawa Senators have officially acquired a parcel of land for, reports are, north of $30 million. It was made official from the National Capital Commission today. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, the Fan Free for All open line time, as we ask you, are you on the Riders bandwagon? Getting a ticket this weekend for the Riders and the Tiger Cats? Let us know next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, a good Monday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and I with you. Locker as well. Reunited.
Reunited. What's the, who sings that?
I'm not the music trivia guy. Like, reunited and it feels so good?
Yes! Peaches and Herb. That's right! That's the song you should have been playing today.
Yeah, this doesn't
quite
hit the vibe that Monday after a vacation really hits for me, to be quite honest. Sorry, Locker, it's not really.
That's okay.
Not feeling that
I'm
one.
I'm in a similar canoe.
But it's time now for the Monday Fan Free-for-All.
And what you have to do is get on the phone lines to participate.
The Green Zone.
It's your phone call.
877-332-8255.
We're going to show them a real good time.
Don't hold nothing back. This is it.
The Fan Free-for-All.
Well, here we go. 1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open here on the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon. Or whatever you'd like to talk about, you can do so now, whether it be some baseball locally, the Berries and the Red Sox tonight.
You going to the game?
I can't tonight, unfortunately.
I know what you're doing, and I am surprised by this.
Weren't
you just camping?
Yeah, that's what I felt like. Camping, summer, straight to the rink after work. That's where I'm headed.
Wow.
Hey, when the boy says he wants to play
I appreciate that, though. I think that's a good parenting thing. He wants to play hockey, you're letting him play hockey.
Well, that's what he said. He's young, and he says, I want to get better.
It's a little early, though.
He actually legit said, is there a such thing as school for hockey? And I said, well, yeah, there's hockey camp, so that's where we're going.
Okay.
Tonight. When we talk about the fan free-for-all right now,
I did summer camps when I was a kid.
You have the Riders and the Tiger Cats. Some people are texting Locker saying this is a Grey Cup preview. Do you think the Hamilton Tiger Cats are good enough?
Yes, I do.
Do you think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are good enough?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's more obvious, I think, than the Tiger Cats.
I still think the Alouettes can't be counted out yet.
Well, once Davis Alexander comes back to health, the Alouettes are going to be the best team because they haven't lost with Davis Alexander. Unfortunately, his hamstring won't heal. McLeod Bethel Thompson was awful in that. He's been awful for, what, 3 of the 4 games? That he started, or 4 of the 5 he started?
He's won one, right?
And the one game he won, he blasts TSN panel, and then he has those back to, like, against the Riders, he was bad. The Riders were good, yes, absolutely. Give the Riders defense a ton of credit, but
and when
he
the
was
Elks,
missing throws.
When the Elks were in town, Cody Fajardo looked good.
Well, Cody Fajardo has given that team some consistency at quarterback.
The fact that they flipped Cody
and Trey Ford.
Yeah, it just...
Well, that felt to me in Edmonton this offseason.
But even the Montreal
that it was a public relations fight. Right? Yeah. It was a public relations thing with that organization to declare Trey Ford as the starting quarterback when his record would indicate maybe the guy who just won a Grey Cup 2 years ago and Cody Fajardo might be able to challenge him. And from all indications from training camp, Cody Fajardo was the more consistent quarterback at camp. But
there was a public sentiment when I was in Edmonton that Trey never got the chance he deserved, that they never gave him a full run, right?
Yep.
And fans believe that. And he's exciting. He's an exciting quarterback to watch. And again, this year, ironically, they're not giving him a chance. So Cody's got to win some.
Him a chance. He was bad. Trey Ford was bad.
Yes, that's true.
And look what happens when they get some consistency. They darn near beat the Riders.
They gave him more of a chance this year than they have in past years.
Cody Fajardo beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He put the ball right in Kean Julian Grant's hands to win it, and he dropped it. Then who does he go back to in Montreal is the same guy who catches the game-winning touchdown pass, which kind of was a little bit of indication. But the Elks, with Cody at quarterback, have been a lot more consistent team because they're getting a lot more consistent play. But either way, here we go into Saturday after a great weekend of football in the CFL, might I add, in Week 10.
All four of those games were fantastic.
The Riders and the Tiger Cats should be on the marquee as the game of the week in the Canadian Football League this week because the best team in the East with the highest scoring offense in the Canadian Football League are the Hamilton Tiger Cats going up against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who are 7-1, who just came off blasting the Montreal Alouettes and coming off their bye week now. Over 30,000 seats are sold. This is going to be the first game this season that they top the 30,000 mark. Will they get to a sellout locker? You're guaranteeing it.
It's on the board. If the Riders don't get a sellout on Saturday, I'm going to just for men jet black my goatee.
And as I mentioned earlier, this is not intended to prevent people from buying tickets to the game, because we did get somebody texting in saying, well, now I'm not going to buy a ticket because I want to see lockers.
Kirk's going. He's the only one. We had one guy. But he's just trying to get me going.
He's intrigued on what the jet black goatee would look like for Locker. But it's interesting. We've been talking about this for a few years, the declining attendance of Rider games. And we've heard over and over again, affordability, affordability, affordability. Craig Reynolds has been on the Green Zone talking about affordability, trying to make more affordable ticket options. They brought back flex packs this year. You can buy 10 tickets. You can use 10 tickets to one game. You can use 2 tickets to 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Or one person can go to all 10. They did away with the flex packs a long time ago. They're bringing them back, trying to get more people in.
There's also
it's old, but they're bringing it back.
Okay, so there also is the concession conversation.
Yeah.
Are prices comparable to like last couple of years, or did they go up again?
Because there's some talk that they might have gone up, but everything's going up.
Everything goes up. Yeah.
Trying to make things more affordable with inflation and everything is.
But you've mentioned you're looking for these deals more than I am because you've got your family goes. And so you've mentioned to me
they have good fan, like 4 hot dogs and 4 drinks for $30 or whatever it is. Like you can find cheaper options around the stadium. Yep. There's no, and this is the work they've done. But again, at the start of this season, all these affordability things, okay, was it working? Is it not working? What happens? They're 7-1. They're an exciting team to watch. They've had exciting games. Now they're over 30,000. Winning matters.
It does.
And exciting football matters. And I think those two things combined, it's an exciting product and they're winning. Okay, I'm going to spend the $50 to go to the game. You have to give a reason for fans to come.
Well, and to be fair, though, and we've talked about this before, you can have the affordability conversation, but life is just more expensive.
Yes,
it is. And that's just something that we're dealing with right now, and it doesn't seem to be getting any easier. Everything seems to be going up. So I feel for families that are making, you know, tough cuts, especially on the entertainment front. So, and you know what? There's probably lots of families listening right now to the Green Zone that were able to afford to go to 3 or 4 games a year in previous years and now have to pick 1, maybe 2 games because things are tight, right? So I get it.
And this is one of those games. I'll be honest. This is one of those games that if you go, I want to go to 1 game this year, a Saturday afternoon matinee against one of the best offenses and one of the biggest names in the league in Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah.
And people know who Bo Levi Mitchell is.
It's going to be a good game.
It sets up, as I said, it's going to be the game of the week. It should be on the marquee for the CFL. And the forecast looks pretty decent for Saturday.
Both those games on Saturday actually are going to be, should be great games because you might get Davis. Davis Alexander might be back and might be playing in Vancouver against Nathan Rourke. That'll be a nice quarterback.
I'm not sure if he'll be ready. They need him to be ready.
He's been practicing.
But aren't you scared, though, Locker, of what happened the last time when, it looks like he's ready, and then his first game back, yes, it was the game-winning touchdown run, but boom, and then he's out for another 5 weeks, and you have to deal with Caleb Evans or McLeod Bethel-Thompson stinking up the joint? No thanks.
I don't know. You got to get him in.
Yes.
Jamie, you got to get him in. I think you do. At this point now, and you got to, you know, knock on wood, hopefully he can make it through the rest of the season. Those hamstring, they're tricky, right? We got a Browns guest on tomorrow to talk about the Cleveland Browns.
They have two quarterbacks with hamstring injuries.
Yeah. Two of the four. Shedeur Sanders is going to be starting on September 7th.
He might.
He's going to be.
After his drop in the NFL draft and his performance over the weekend. It could get very interesting.
Who do you want?
Cleveland,
you want an
Browns.
80-year-old Joe Flacco?
Hey, no hate on Joe Flacco, please. Seriously?
Okay. He's 40.
He's younger than both of us. What are you talking about? Because you talk about just for men on your stark black goatee.
Well, and also, I got double knee braces on right now just to come to work. I'm kidding.
Too much yoga. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. What has you going to the game on Saturday? Are you back on the bandwagon? 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with the ear of the Green Zone on this Monday. Belton Johnson's coming up. We'll talk some CFL football, maybe touch on Shedeur Sanders lighting it up over the weekend. There was a few big storylines from the NFL preseason that jumped out at us over the weekend, including Shedeur Sanders' performance. That was.
And a 70-yard field goal.
And yet the 70-yarder. 70-yarder.
Cam, I'm trying to remember his last name. He's new. I think he's pretty new, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's Jacksonville Jaguars from 70 yards. Cam Little.
Yeah.
And
does that start happening more with these guys being able to kick like that now?
It's crazy. 70-yard field goal, the only way you were making a 70-yarder way back in the day is if the wind was gusting 70K in Regina, Saskatchewan, straight from the north, and you could just hang it up there and have a prayer at it. Of course, the longest field goal in NFL history in a regular season game is Justin Tucker kicked a 66-yard field goal. That's the longest. 70 yards is not officially the record because it was a preseason game. but it's getting a little ridiculous. And also, outside of Shedeur Sanders, some other rookie quarterbacks, Cam Ward, he played a little bit, led a touchdown drive for Tennessee. He'll be the starter out of Tennessee. And Jackson Dart actually looked pretty good with the Giants. He replaced, of course, Russell Wilson, who they signed. And already some Giants fans want Jackson Dart to start the season rather than Russell Wilson with the New York Giants. So some of the news and notes. And Travis Hunter played 19 snaps in his NFL debut.
He
11
did play
on
both
offense,
sides, right?
Eight yeah. on defense. And they didn't throw the ball at him when he was on defense. He caught two passes on offense. So maybe he will play a lot of football as a two-way player in Jacksonville. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Red Sox and the Berries go at Curry Field in Regina tonight. 7 o'clock is first pitch. Of course, the Red Sox have a 1-0 series lead in this best-of-three East final. Saskatoon trying to force a decisive game number three. Of course, Saskatoon came back against Moose Jaw after losing the first game of the series. And the Ottawa Senators closing in on a new home. They have sealed the deal on land in Ottawa. 20-minute walk from the Parliament buildings for just over $30 million is the report in the Ottawa Citizen. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, our football analyst Belton Johnson is in next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.